Before he was an evangelist, St. Matthew was an apostle, and before that, a tax collector. As an evangelist, Matthew holds a privileged place in the church to which only three others may properly lay claim. Four evangelists who recorded more than history, hope, and instruction. Called and carried by God the Holy Spirit, they incarnate in ink and papyrus the Word made flesh, who was incarnate by the same Spirit of the Virgin Mary. In and through the words of the Gospels are heard the very words of our living Lord, and received are his works, his conception, his birth, suffering, crucifixion, death, and burial, and his descent, resurrection, ascension, and promised return. As also an apostle, Matthew, along with John, is more unique still, for his blessed eyes and ears saw and heard what many prophets longed to see and hear. Before a catechist, he was and remained a catechumen. Though modernity's scholarship offers sophisticated distinctions between various Matthews, whether real or imagined, those closest to the eyewitnesses seem content to be fooled, as some would say, and held together the evangelist and apostle. Perhaps we too may find contentment with the folly of what they preached for the salvation of those who believe. For with the organizational care of a scribe and the historical precision of one who was there, Matthew wrote down the wisdom of God for the church, that those who are not apostles, like the 12 or the 14, but who are nevertheless called to share in their apostolic ministry, would catechize the baptized to guard and keep all that Christ had commanded and Matthew recorded. Upon such a foundation, Paul writes, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, is built the household of God, the church. And Matthew, as his name suggests, and as his gospel exemplifies, is a gift of the Lord to us. But before he was an evangelist and apostle, Matthew was a tax collector, sitting at his tax booth in sinful luxury on the border of Roman apostasy and Jewish excommunication. As Jesus passed on from Capernaum, he saw a man rich enough to buy his own friends and said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything behind, Matthew rose and followed him. As Jesus later explains in Matthew's own gospel, the result of his call is death, and the cost, a cross. After Peter's confession, and after Jesus foretelling his death and resurrection, the Lord then adds, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And after that rich young man Matthew tells us about, after he departs from Jesus, who had told him to give his future away to the poor, the Lord says, "It's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Speaking for the 12, which certainly includes Matthew, Peter replied, "But we have left everything to follow you." And they had. Forsaking the treasures on earth, where moth, rust, and ambition destroy, Matthew followed Jesus to lay up the treasures of heaven, the people of God, the joy set before Jesus for whom he endured the cross, despising its shame. As Matthew himself records, "For you, the Lord's 'follow me' sounds more like 'I baptize you.'" Though we may not claim the apostleship of Matthew or the special inspiration of his writing, still the Lord's call means the death of the old man and the arising of the new. To get through a needle's eye, the rich camel must die, for you cannot serve both God and mammon, and the old Adam cannot be both coddled and killed. Like living together before marriage, it is poor preparation for the apostolic ministry to court convenience with the lip service of sacrifice. And dear friends, this seems an especially important truth in an age such as ours, where the destruction of marriage is politicized, where the destruction of children is commercialized, and where the destruction of truth is popularized. In such an age, in which we wrestle not against flesh and blood that would live and let live, but rather against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and spiritual forces of evil, along with their riches, that wage an offensive war of darkness against the light which cannot be overcome, in these last days, we may well be given a privilege similar to those apostolic martyrs, those who rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of God's name, into which we are baptized. Thanks be to God, therefore, through Christ Jesus our Lord, who delivers us from this body of death. For the word they still shall let remain, and by that word made flesh that goes forth from Matthew's gospel, we are buried with Christ into his death, defeating death, and raised to live in his new life. The same unreasonable word that called Matthew away from all that he knew and all that he held dear continues to destroy the old Adam, who does not want to drown and so never finds that word relevant or appealing. It matters not, thanks be to Christ, for now as then God is faithful to his promises, and he himself accomplishes the purpose for which that word is sent forth to you. Now as then, the Holy Spirit, through that same word, calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, keeping it with Jesus in the one true faith, creating us to be the communion of saints by the forgiveness of sins. Indeed, as Matthew records, it is sinners whom Jesus comes to call. Only those who are sick have need of this great physician of body and soul, the same physician who keeps company with the sick, offering the medicine of immortality in the meal at which he serves as both host and food. So go, says the Lord, in a word from Hosea, recorded here only by Matthew, and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Like Matthew, the church's catechist, before being a catechist, one must be and remain a catechumen, made a disciple by baptism and learning the teaching of all Christ commanded, as Matthew recorded. In those commands that are gifts to the church, commands such as baptism, absolution, and Holy Communion, in those commands, faith beholds the one in whom God's desire is satisfied, the one in whose sacrifice is mercy, the very one who is with you always, to the end of the age, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.